Our Old Testament reading comes from Numbers, chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. Moses went out and told the people of the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesize. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the epistle lesson from Acts. There's a big difference, but a connection between wisdom and intelligence. Intelligence, how much do you know? Wisdom is what do you do with what you know? And sometimes we don't put into practice all the things that we know and we make unwise decisions. Or we forget that what we knew. Forget what we know, what we knew. We just forget it. All right? We can have the right biblical principles in our minds, but we don't always put them into practice. One of the things that every Christian needs is the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, or nothing works correctly. You can't put spiritual principles to work with natural understanding. Pentecost is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So how do we build up our spiritual lives? Well, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit." So who builds up our spiritual lives? The Holy Spirit does. There you go. You got it. All right. So it's the Holy Spirit that builds up our spiritual life. The power comes from God, not from us. Consider these biblical passages. The first one from 1 John. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Think about that. When the Holy Spirit's indwelling in us, we are more powerful than Satan. Do you realize that when you are being tempted, you have the ability to say, "Satan, leave me alone"? And because of, if you say it in Christ's name, he leaves you alone. Temptation may be there, but you can drive him away. You know, we think of Satan as being this all-powerful being, but we as Christians have power over him. Ephesians 3:16 tells us that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Man, do we have tremendous power. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." That power is the work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." To walk in the Holy Spirit means to be completely dependent on his guidance and his power to combat sin. And when we do that, when we start combating sin, we're living lives that are effective to God. Well, what sort of power am I talking about? Well, one of them is being an effective witness. It's amazing how I can knock you over everything. Is to be an effective witness. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So one of these powers that I'm talking about is, hey, think about that. We got superpowers. And we don't need capes. By the way, real heroes don't wear capes, just saying, all right? But we have the ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody else, and we're sharing with them the gift of eternal life. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." 50 days after the resurrection is Pentecost. That was a Jewish holiday of Pentecost, is when they celebrated the receiving of the law on Mount Sinai. That's why Jerusalem was filled with all those names or all those people that Dan did a fine job in pronouncing. Didn't you love some of them? Yes, but at least you didn't have the Old Testament people that I love. The group I love the best in the Old Testament was called the Parasites. Hey, Mom, I met this young man. He's a parasite. Anyway, I know my wife's probably thinking, just stick to what you've written and stop going off on tangents. All right. Okay, yes, so Pentecost comes. The Holy Spirit is given then to the disciples, and they proclaim the good news to everybody who's there. The Holy Spirit empowers us in ways we never expected. Paul writes in Romans 8, "Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Do you ever have those times when you just don't know what to pray about a situation? I run across that way too many times. Just to give an example, when somebody's dying or somebody's in stage 4 cancer, an incredible amount of pain, what do you pray for? You want to pray for healing, but you're also realizing what they're going through. So you don't know what to pray. And that's perfectly legitimate. You know what? That's when we ask the Holy Spirit to intercede, because he knows what is best for the situation. It's not up to me to decide. I turn it over to him and say, I really, in this situation, have no idea what to pray for. He also gives us the power to believe despite the circumstances like that around us. And we also pray for our faith to grow. Jude writes in chapter 1, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." We want to build a stronger faith. Building faith is a lot like building a house. The first thing you construct on the construction site is not the roof. Why? Somebody's got to be louder. Nothing to put it on. Exactly. You don't build the walls first. You build what first? The foundation first. And you got to set that foundation. Set it so then the rest of the house is built straight. And then guess what comes about once the house is all done? Are you sudden when your brand new house is finished, are you done with the work at that house? Nope. Because what happens? The shingle falls off a roof. Something else needs to be repaired. Or something a lot simpler that's done probably on a daily basis in every household, washing dishes. Because if you didn't wash dishes and continue to let them pile up, your house becomes unlivable because it stinks. Okay? So when you have a house, you have daily maintenance. Now, the connection to faith, I hope I can make clear. The foundation here is Jesus Christ. We build our lives, our faith, on the solid rock. Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock." When you put a foundation in, one of the things you got to do is put a sealant in to protect the foundation. And I was reading this illustration that says the Holy Spirit's the sealing in our foundation. Kind of a play on words. It comes from 2 Corinthians 1. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Or in Ephesians 1, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 20, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he breathed on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He gave them a new spiritual life. Paul emphasizes that in Ephesians 2 when he writes, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." That new life that comes as a result of our sins being forgiven, that's the heart of the covenant that we have with God. He says to us, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It starts a new spiritual life. Many times in Scripture, when the Holy Spirit is mentioned, the breath of life is also mentioned. In Hebrew, breath also has the meaning of wind or spirit. So why is that important to all of this? Well, think back to Ezekiel, the Valley of Bones. Oh, don't you wish we could sing that song right now? Anyway, see the advantage of going to Sunday school growing up? You learn all these great songs. Anyways, I'm going to be humming it later today. In Ezekiel 37, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, "Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they might live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Going back to that picture in Ezekiel, you have the Valley of Bones. You have the flesh come upon the bones, and the bodies are there, but there's something missing, and it's the breath of life. The breath of life, the Holy Spirit. That's what's missing. That's what was missing in the people in the Old Testament, is they didn't have the Spirit of God in them because they rejected it. Now, a lot of people today, all right, a lot of people in our world today can look good on the outside, walking around doing everything that they're supposed to do, but the breath of God is missing in them. Ezekiel 37 says, "I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live." When we have faith in Christ, then we are alive. The Bible, by the way, also talks about the Bible talks about the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an important part of spiritual life. Now I want to talk about the maintenance work involved. When we are a Christian, being a Christian is not something that I can check off my list. Okay, I'm a Christian, I got this done, now I can go on with the rest of my life. It needs daily maintenance. The disciples and we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. When Peter and John were preaching, and many people were coming to listen to them, the church leaders came to Peter and John and told them, basically, knock it off. Stop preaching about this Jesus of Nazareth. And in Acts 4 we read, "The place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." They were refilled. This is after Pentecost. Pentecost, they got the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts chapter 2. Then in Acts chapter 4, they appear to get refilled. Do you remember full-service gas stations? Yeah, see, young people, you just don't. We had one here in town when I first got here. What was the name of that place? Moses on 31. Oh my goodness, are we all getting that old we don't remember? All right, full service gas stations were cool back in the day. You would pull up, roll down your window, because there was no little button things. You roll down your window, and you would tell the gas attendant to fill her up. Now that told the gas attendant two things. It first of all told him, your tank's almost empty. All right? And then it also told him it needs to be refilled. Now, how full is our tank? We need to be constantly refilled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we can't neglect the study of His Word. We can't neglect prayer. We cannot neglect the sacraments. In Luke 11, verses 9 and 10, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. We can connect that to the idea that we want to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this is a wonderful blessing. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We get our faith strengthened by asking God to strengthen our faith. He usually accomplishes that through study of His Word or hearing His Word, through prayer and through the sacraments. We apply all of this, we can apply this following verse or next verse to what we ask of God. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And that comes from the book of James. You ever want to know something about God? I'm convinced, just go to the book of James. So when we go to God and ask for our faith to be strengthened, we got to believe He'll actually do it. Don't go in doubting. God, if you can. Oh, Lord, I need my faith strengthened. Jesus came to give us an abundant life. And an abundant life is not more things, more stuff. An abundant life is that comfort and peace and joy that Christians have that the world simply doesn't have. All right? We have that. That's the abundant life. Ultimately, the abundant life is life in heaven. We need that faith in order to have the abundant life and to have heaven. And we need the Holy Spirit to maintain that. So living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit rests entirely on our being willing to receive the Holy Spirit and being open for God to pour His Spirit within us. And so, we need to build up God's house within us as a spiritual house, and to do so by living in the power of the Holy Spirit. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.